Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom. Did that sound like Dracula around?
Man, no. Is today Halloween? Is that what the significance of
this? That was.
I didn't know if that was the significance or if this has something to do with the temperance movement. I thought maybe it had something to do with temperance.
Anyway, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, and we're bringing you opinion and commentary today on today's economic and political events on October 31st, 2013. Thank you for joining us this very fine Thursday afternoon. Lots of things to talk about. I mean, there isn't lack of news, that's for sure. Investing today was a little bit quiet, being the last day of the month, probably a holiday. And I was shocked, Al. I heard that Halloween is the second most popular holiday of the year. Of course, we know Christmas is number one. It used to be Mother's Day. And I find it kind of interesting how Halloween has become that number two rapidly. It could basically maybe outpass that number one holiday. Who knows? But it's interesting, the two major holidays that are, you know, just the extreme of the...
Yeah, it is interesting because from a spiritual perspective...
That's how I'm looking at it, yeah.
Now, on the one hand, you've got the celebration of Christianity. Yeah. On the other hand, you have celebration. But some people allege it's a satanic holiday and the rest of that sort of thing. I used to go out on trick-or-treating when I was a kid, and I was not in it for Satanism. You understand? I was in it for the candy. Right? And especially if you could get some people, well, they didn't have much in the line of candy, but some of them had some really good candy, and boy, I love that.
Oh. Well, you know what's interesting, though? If you look at how Halloween is celebrated anymore, at one point, growing up as a kid, what did we get? Our costumes, you know, girls were princesses, brides, nurses. We were good things. We were people we wanted to be as adults, our occupational. Boys were firemen, police people, Superman, you know, maybe a comic book, you know, all good characters. In today's world, where a world that I think we celebrate death, you have zombies, you know, you have, you know, vampires and werewolves, and so it certainly has changed.
And politicians, and something
and politicians.
Really scary.
You're not allowed to do politicians.
Uh-huh.
You're not allowed to. That poor rodeo clown got kicked out of the rodeo.
Yeah, I understand that. And there's somebody else got into trouble lately. Juliet Huffer, whatever her name is. She's a sister of a guy who's on Dancing with the Stars, and she went to some Halloween party in blackface. And people were commenting. They said that was politically incorrect for white people to dress up in blackface. It was racially insensitive, and that might be true. But if it is, what about black women who wear blonde hair? Huh? How is that any different? You know, we are going to a point where we've just become crazy, irrational, and everybody just puts up with it. It's very difficult to get back into a line of reason. I've seen some people criticize, you shouldn't go as an Indian. Don't dress up as an Indian. That's insensitive. It's racially, culturally, I'm not sure if it's racially or culturally insensitive. It's insensitive. No politicians, no Indians, no blackface, no blonde hair, no artificially dyed hair.
I didn't know you watched Dancing with the Stars.
I heard about it. I read about it in a.
Anyway, let's get to gold today. Let's go dancing with gold. We have gold. Yeah, they hit gold today down almost $19, down $18.60 at $1,325. Silver, they whammied on silver, down 78 cents today at $22.06. Platinum was down $21 at $14.55, along with palladium, also down $9 at $741. And I did say yesterday they very well will get the dollar back up over 80, and that is exactly what they did today, up 0.51 at 80.22. I think that's their number. I think where we're seeing gold at these levels are at 1,300. Are they the right numbers? Absolutely not. They're all skewed. They're all wrong. Gold, in my opinion, should be really trading anywhere from $25,000 to $3,000 today. But when you see all the changes that we've had since April, and their ability to keep their little illusion going, we certainly have seen those numbers have not arrived. Crude oil today was down about 50 cents at $96.28, and the paper markets took a more of a beating. I looked about an hour or so ago, got gold on my mind, and they were only down a couple points, and they're down 73 at 15,545, along with the NASDAQ down 10 at 39.19, the S&P 500 down 6 at 1756. So they did end the month with some gains. The NASDAQ rose 4%, the Dow added 3%. But then again, look at the numbers. How far, in the past 10 years, really not good at all. Really not good performing numbers whatsoever. 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call. We'll have our drawing tomorrow, first thing. Carla will be pulling the numbers out of the basket for a Mint State 62 $10 Indian gold piece and a tube of silver eagles. So make sure you all tune in tomorrow. We have Wendy Wilson joining us this afternoon from Apothecary Herbs.
Hello, Melody. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great, Wendy.
Oh, is Al with you today?
Yes, he is.
Yes, Al is with me.
Hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
How's
kind of
everybody?
Costume are you wearing for the program?
Well, I kind of
Melody is going as Dracula. Melody is wearing a Dracula contest. And what kind of a costume are you wearing today?
I dressed as an herbalist today.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm coming as an uninvited guest. That's my usual costume for these kind of parties. I don't, it's not Batman or anything else. I just wear my normal clothes, and I go as an uninvited guest. So You've suggested several topics that we could talk about today. You had four of them, and then you had four optional topics.
Well,
I was wondering if you had any extra credit topics. Do we have any additional credit topics for extra credit?
No, but they were actually just two categories of a topic with questions for each. So pick one, whichever one you want.
Okay, do I have to put on
Let's get going.
Like that?
I'm sure the listeners
We have to get going. We have to get going. What are the mainstream synthetic vitamins made from and who makes them?
Well, basically, we've got a few pharmaceutical industries that are making a lot of the mainstream vitamins, like the One A Day, the Flintstones, the Sam's Club, Equate, Centrum. Basically, you've got Bayer making a lot of the One A Day products, and then you've got La Roche making the One A Day. So these are pharmaceutical products that are being touted as a vitamin. And did you know, Al, Melanie, that 95% of the vitamins sold in health food stores and 100% sold in major outlets are just produced by a few pharmaceuticals? And you'd be surprised at what could be in those vitamins you think are good for you. For instance, if you read your ingredient list on these synthetic vitamins, which are kind of hard on our body to digest and metabolize, these are a petrochemical that is full of fillers, additives, food colorings, flavorings, and preservatives. So you'll see on your labels ingredients like talc, dyes, cellulose, silicon, titanium dioxide, VHT, aspartame, sorbitol, sodium benzoate, just to name a few. And so I recommend, if I were you, I wouldn't ingest any of that.
All right, and just to be clear for the audience, there's synthetic vitamins are those that are completely manufactured in a chemical process. Well, legitimate vitamins, and for lack of a better term, there may be a better adjective to describe, well, natural vitamins. They are simply what we find in foods, for example.
Absolutely,
Perhaps fish or meat or whatever. I don't know where we find them all together, but they are naturally manufactured by nature rather than by DuPont.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, the vitamins of today are different than the vitamins that came on the market in the early 1900s, which were basically dried fruits and vegetables, and that's what folks were purchasing. But then in the 1940s, millions of people were swallowing what were now synthetic vitamins, thinking they were fortifying their body. But actually, when they do that, they're not really fortifying. They're actually stressing their liver, kidneys, and bowel. So the synthetic vitamin's really hard on the system. It's a petrochemical agent. Actually, 90% of your vitamin C on the market, Al, Melanie, is made by Hoffman La Roche Pharmaceuticals. Your vitamin A is taken from fish liver juice. And where's the fish coming from? Hopefully it's not Japan. Your vitamin D is also a synthetic, and it's made from irradiated oil from petroleum extracts, like your coal tar, for instance, and they even throw in a little bit of animal organs in there, like cow liver. And these types of products may contain an ammonia smell, or in some cases, they've even tested these types of vitamin supplements to also have formaldehyde in them. So you have to be real careful out there. And do you know where your vitamin B12, your thiamine, comes from?
I'm afraid to ask. No, I don't.
Melanie, you want to guess?
Aliens.
Yes, space.
Well,
aliens.
I think I'd feel better if they did come from aliens, but your vitamin B12 comes from sewage, sludge, and cow liver. Cow livers are full of antibiotics, steroids, and GMO products. So they tend to clean it up, but the human bowel makes a lot of vitamin B12, and it just happens to, you know, still be there in the sewage. And so they just tap into that to make your – that's probably why your vitamins kind of smell odd.
So it's recycled.
Oh, yeah, it's recycled. So these are the pharmaceutical versions of vitamins. And around the 1940s, you know, they noticed people that were taking real whole food supplements were getting healthier. So they decided to tap into that market and, you know, change things.
All right. Well, what else do we have here? We've got the megadoses.
Yeah, the megadoses. Right. You know, a lot of people, you know, they take large units of these synthetic vitamins that are typically recommended by the supplement product themselves. But the large unit doses can be harmful, especially on long-term use, which is a year or more. So if you're taking the wrong supplement in the wrong amount, it actually will suppress your immune system function and can give disease a foothold. So the conditions that a lot of these synthetic vitamins tend to foster are conditions like arthritis, cancer, osteoporosis, skin, and respiratory disease. So people need to really check what's on their kitchen counter or in their pantry. Because our body's not able to assimilate a toxic mineral that's produced by Big Pharma. Now, Dr. Judith DeCarva, she says this, the real truth about vitamins and antioxidants is what occurs with all synthetic vitamins. The body treats them as a toxin. So your body is really under threat or assault when you're using petrochemical supplements out there.
All right. The question was, can megadoses of these vitamins hurt you, and we're saying that megadoses of synthetic vitamins can. What about megadoses of natural vitamins?
And while that's an interesting
are they
question,
as potentially dangerous? Are they similarly dangerous? Sometimes dangerous, mostly not dangerous. What?
They can be, but your body's able to tolerate larger doses of an organic whole food source than an unnatural synthetic one. So, for instance, if you were taking 5 milligrams of a synthetic vitamin, for instance, your body could tolerate 41 milligrams of a whole food supplement with no residual side effects. So there is a big difference in the synthetic versus the organic.
There's an attempt by, Codex Alimentarius coming out of Europe ultimately, attempting to control the supply and manufacture of vitamins around the world.
Right.
Does Codex Alimentarius apply only to synthetic vitamins, or does it apply to all vitamins?
Actually, the Codex is the Food Harmonization Code, and it applies to not only your supplements, it applies to your food, it applies to your water, it applies to your pharmaceutical prescription. So it's about controlling and the distribution and control of everything you put in your body, basically. So,
you know what the basis is for that?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Do you know what the basis for that control is?
Yeah, it's depopulation.
Well, no, that may be the motive, but the legal basis is found at least in part at 21 United States Code. We talked about it yesterday on the program.
Yes.
21 U.S.C. Section 321, which defines both food and drugs and medical devices in terms of man or other animals, meaning they presume us all to be livestock on the global plantation, and they will control, therefore, what we eat. Because we're animals, we can't really control what we eat. It's up to our masters, our farmers, our supervisors to control it.
Well, that's a good point. You're totally correct, Al. And the thing is that what they've done is they've scripted what a drug is. And a drug will have a change in the human body. And even water will make a change in the body. In other words, if you were dehydrated and somebody gave you water, they look at that as somebody just prescribed a drug for you because it made a change. So, I mean, these people are insane, really.
I understand. But in theory, it can stop if you can raise some of the correct arguments. Let me ask you this. We've got about a minute left. We have only about a minute left. First off, where do we find the natural vitamins as opposed to the synthetic vitamins? Can we find them in the ordinary vitamin store or something that you sell? How do we get a hold of natural vitamins rather than synthetic?
Well, you're going to have to read your labels. And like if you go to your health food store, the majority of the difference between what you would find at Walmart or Target and your GNC store or your health food store is that the health food store vitamins may eliminate food colorings and dyes and preservatives, but they're pretty much almost identical other than that to what you get at GNC and Walmart.
The main thing that's different is the label. The label is the primary difference between the products. That's at least what you're implying. Why don't you tell us quickly where folks can reach you, where your websites located, what number they can call, so on and so forth?
Sure. They can reach us at Apothecary Herbs. We have a website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, lots of information there. Or they can call us toll-free and request a free catalog at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And I do want to add, make sure your whole food supplements are organic to TILF standards. That's your very best you can get.
All right. Thanks very much, Wendy. We look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.
Thank
you very
much.
In the meantime, we're going to take a break. Have some commercial announcements, and Melody and I will be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adesk here at Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Do we have a special for people today, Melody, or is this the last day where they can get in on the drawing?
That is correct. So all orders through today, we'll go ahead and include their name in the drawing for tomorrow. We'll do that first thing. They can call us at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And, of course, visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com.
Okay, what's next?
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. There's tons to talk about, Al. I think you had something down about a new reserve currency.
Well, it's just interesting. You know, that there's an article from Business Insider entitled "The Chinese Are in Love with Bitcoins," and it's driving the digital currency's prices into the stratosphere. And they talk about bitcoins. They point out how China has helped push the price of bitcoins from in the neighborhood of $100 to as much as $233 per coin. Now, bitcoins are these little artificial currency that somebody dreamed up, and even the source of these coins is not clear. But they have become more than a fad. Now, they are at least a great fad, and they may be more than a fad. And what's interesting to me is just an article of China. Chinese like them, and they're pushing the price upward. And it's interesting, first, that China is not pushing up the value of fiat dollars, but it is pushing up the value of bitcoins. And it implies that China, at least, there are elements of China, they hold bitcoins in higher esteem than they do U.S. dollars. Here's another article entitled "Bitcoin Now Unit of Account in Germany." Germany's Ministry of Finance has recognized Bitcoin, meaning it will be able to tax users or creators of the virtual money. Germany's Ministry of Finance has formally recognized the digital currency Bitcoin as a unit of account, which will be used for private transactions, which can be used for private transactions, meaning the ministry will now be able to tax users and creators of the four-year-old virtual money. All right? But they've been recognized in Germany as a unit of account. Now, what's a unit of account? There are two kinds of currency in this world, and two in a general sense. And the first one is a unit of account, and the second one is a unit of exchange. A unit of account is not really money. It's simply a device for keeping score. It's a unit to provide an accounting. You understand? A unit of account. It's devised for keeping score. Monopoly money is a unit of account. So are bitcoins. So are fiat dollars. None of these currencies have a fixed intrinsic value. All are fiat currencies. Gold and silver, on the other hand, are not units of account. They're units of exchange because they have intrinsic value. Now, you'll see the significance of this in a moment. We're talking about bitcoins, but it's at least instructive to begin to recognize the difference between units of account and units of exchange. Right? Two different kinds of money. Used to be we had units of exchange in this country. Now we have units of account. It is not an improvement. It's not a step up. The article about bitcoins continues. It says, however, companies wanting to use bitcoins for commercial transactions would need permission from Germany's Federal Financial Supervision Authority. Bitcoin is an online token, which can be used in exchange for goods and services in the same way as standard currencies. Now, in the same way as standard currencies, it's a token. And we can use it in the same way as standard currencies. Doesn't that suggest at least that standard currencies are also nothing but tokens? And a token, what do we know about a token? It doesn't really have any intrinsic value. Right? It's like playing with a poker chip. It's a token. It might have $50 on it. It might have $100 on it. It might have $1,000 on the face of that poker chip. But the poker chips are all essentially the same amount of plastic, maybe a little different color, but there is no intrinsic value. It's a token. It's not really a measure of money. It turns out that's not a bad description for our current dollars. However, Bitcoin has no issuing bank. The currency is created by computers performing complex mathematical problems. Transactions are carried out by transferring a unique number within the Bitcoin network from one electronic wallet on a computer or phone to another. Each of the 10 million Bitcoins in existence is presently worth about $117. New coins are mined by setting computers to find new solutions to the math problems. Now, I'm not a Bitcoin student, but so far as I know, one of Bitcoin's most desirable features is that there are only a fixed number of Bitcoins available. Another 10 million, so far as I know. All right? Now, this is important because the price rises and falls in direct proportion to public demand for Bitcoins. It's been up over 200. It's been down to 100. This would start out, I think, at $1 a coin. and it's up to over 200 in places. And it varies according to public demand, but it's not affected by any attempt by government or central banks to increase or decrease the currency supply of bitcoins. And this has to be one of the fascinations with bitcoins, because, hey, we can set the value for bitcoins. You and I. Government is not involved. Central banks are not involved. We, the people, can set the price for bitcoins. Now, they are still just a fiat currency. They have no intrinsic value, but they have the advantage of being strictly a function of what the public says, unlike paper dollars, whose value is largely a response to what the government says. There's a difference here, and that's attractive to some people. We are treated to the interesting spectacle of the value of the limited supply of bitcoins is growing, right? While the value of fiat dollars is falling. Why are fiat dollars falling in value? In large measure, because there's an unlimited and growing supply. They keep pumping out an extra $85 billion every month in just the form of quantitative easing. They can't add anything to bitcoins. They can to the dollar. The dollar is generally going down. Bitcoins are generally going up. Now, this is an interesting lesson because it points to things like mint state coins. They're not producing any more mint state coins in the same sense that they're not making any more bitcoins. They're not making any more MS-62 $20 liberties. They've made as many as they're ever going to be. Right? There won't be any more. And from that perspective, we can compare that back to bitcoins and sit back and say, well, wait a second. You know, that is interesting. Bitcoins are generating more and more value, or at least more price, in part because they have only a fixed supply. And we also have a fixed supply for mint state or collectible gold and silver coins. So we see a similarity here. We have the additional advantage that where bitcoins are just a fiat imaginary currency, they are a unit of account. You can get a hold of those old gold coins, those mint state gold coins, and it's not only a limited number that will never grow any larger, they are also units of exchange. They're real money. They have intrinsic value. And the point I'm making here, at least in part, is that, you know, it might be just as sensible or more sensible, far more sensible, go out and invest your money in gold coins rather than in bitcoins. Admittedly, the Fed is running in favor of bitcoins at the moment, but the day is going to come. You know, the day's got to come where the same principles should apply to mint state gold coins. My point in all of this, however, half joking, half serious, is that given Bitcoin's rising, increasing recognition as a legitimate currency, and given their fixed numbers and increasing value and rising popularity, could bitcoins, or something very much like them, replace the fiat dollar as the world reserve currency? You know, bitcoin's been around for 4 years, and initially it was just kind of a fad, and it was kind of funny, it was kind of peculiar and kind of fun. And now we're beginning to think, maybe this is more serious. And I'm wondering, are bitcoins more than a fad, or at least the idea of bitcoins? I'm not suggesting that bitcoins are going to become the world reserve currency, but they certainly point to a technology that might make possible a one world currency, a world reserve currency that had no backing. It was put in a fixed number of them. It wouldn't be 10 million as we have in bitcoins right now. It might be, who knows, 20 trillion. Maybe it's 20 trillion. I don't know. Just pull a number out of the hat. But everyone would perhaps start with 500 of these new world reserve currency coins, computer coins, cryptocurrencies. Start out with 500 units for each, and then we play the game. Much like we play Monopoly, and see who can accumulate the most bitcoins. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not even saying it's a good thing. But I am saying that there's something interesting happening here with bitcoins, and it makes me wonder. Make any sense, Melody? Do you think bitcoins are just a fad? They're going to be gone in 6 months or a year? Do you think there's something else happening here that's far more real?
It's probably all of the above.
You did it to me again. I try to get either or and again. Oh, it's probably both of those. No, it's all 10 of those. It's all of the above.
Actually, people love fads. Look at the dinar. Look at the Iraqi dinar. People love fads. They want something that they expect to get something in return. So for that, I believe, that fad could go on for a much longer time. However, you could also look at this as some sort of a test. And I think you're right. I don't think it will be Bitcoin per se, but I think for the future, you're looking, maybe 2025, 2030, maybe even not that long, but somewhere in the future, maybe the system, the technology that is being created through the Bitcoin could be used for,
That's exactly what I'm trying to illustrate here. Yeah. I don't think Bitcoin started as
Bitcoin is a phony system.
I don't think it was ever their intent.
Yeah, it isn't.
They're looking at it now, and they got to be saying, wait a minute. I thought this was crazy, but now that I look at it, and I'm speaking from the perspective of people who are in the Federal Reserve, for example, I got to say, wait a second. This is pretty cool. Maybe this guy stumbled onto something here that we could emulate.
I mean, I don't think it's any different than Facebook or Google.
Oh.
Have these kids who, in the corners of their rooms have their imagination, and they've created something that, those who create it will make billions and billions. It'll be marketed. And I think that's exactly what's happened. It's being marketed. And so you would have to think as a business, would you be willing to accept the Bitcoin? Now, what good is that going to do a business? So,
would you be willing to accept a tulip? People in Holland did. At one point, they had that tulip mania, and they used tulips as money. And they were attached spectacular amounts of value to tulip bulbs. And the implication is people take anything that works. They'll take fiat currency, but in the end, the tulip mania ends, and the fiat currency ends. And even the Bitcoin, assuming it goes that far, will end.
The one thing that persists
for thousands of years, gold and silver.
I don't think your central banks, are going to allow some, the citizens.
Yeah, kind of already are.
No.
We're seeing this change in Germany, for example. We're seeing China grab onto these things. This is going to be legitimatized, if that is a word.
They're after it, and because they want the taxes. I mean, so it is a great way to perhaps launder money and so forth. And
For the moment, they're laundering. That would be the only thing.
We've seen the pharmaceutical situation, the drugs, blah blah blah. So there's a lot of problems, and I think it's an interesting topic, but I think it's something for far more into the future. And to me, Bitcoins is not money. It's a plaything.
No, it's absolutely not money.
But it is
one of those ideas whose time has come, somewhat like the hula hoop. Back in the days of my youth, all of a sudden, oh, my gosh, the hula hoop. We got Bitcoins. It is a fiat currency. It is a unit of account. It's not a unit of exchange. It's not real money. But it's like getting a lottery ticket. It's not real money, but if you get the right one, it can be worth a lot. And people will pile on in hopes that they get the right one. So we'll watch and see. It does not bode well, but it bodes interesting. What else? We've got about a minute to go before we hit the break, Melody.
Well, I don't want to be around if Bitcoin becomes the one world reserve currency. But you can certainly see the technology heading in that direction. I mean, with everything from Obamacare, centralizing everything. I mean, if people can't get it or understand it,
It's one of those options. You look at it and you maybe
it's like science fiction.
Sign of the times. Is this a sign of the times? Does this, you know, is it just a fad or is it pointing to something far more significant? Time will tell. We don't really know yet, but we'll find out before it's all over. We live long enough, and I think we will. I expect all of us live long enough to find out whether bitcoins are significant or merely
amusing.
Well,
that's why I buy my gold.
Well, I understand. All right, we're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I have a pet peeve.
A pet peeve?
Bill
How
Gross.
How much do you need it? Do you have to get a license for a pet peeve?
No.
Do you have to license? Do they bite? Or I haven't seen a peeve before. Do they bite, or what do they do?
No. Bill Gross, along with Warren Buffett. Bill Gross, he was a co-founder of the investment firm PIMCO. They manage the biggest bond fund in the world. And in his latest monthly investment letter, he comes out and he says he thinks that the filthy rich should pay 1% or more in taxes. That's what Warren Buffett says. They need to pay more into it. So they encourage all this change in legislation so the 1%ers pay more taxes. But all the legislation that would ever be created or produced wouldn't even touch the 1%ers because they would just go around and rearrange their abilities to have their funds stored in various places.
You never outsmart the rich people.
And it just makes, because they're up there, you know, he's got $2.2 billion. It's like, what do people do with $2.2 billion? years. I mean,
fondle it.
Hmm?
They fondle it. That's what they
I
do.
Guess.
They get all that
I
money and they put it in one room and they throw it up
well,
in the air.
Well, he's low on the scale. I mean, Forbes estimates his net worth to be about $2.2 billion. And as I mentioned, he's not the first billionaire to argue that the rich should pay more taxes, but we all know they don't. And they all brag. They all brag.
Joke. That's a big joke among them. They can sit back and think, ha, ha, ha. Do you see what I did last week? I advocated that we pay more taxes, and the people fall for that crap, and they all laugh. They have a great time. It's just one of the little amusing things that the rich like to do. There is some evidence to suggest that the Internal Revenue Service is in trouble, and it's certainly angered people. Because it's been used politically to go after people that were adversaries or enemies of Obama. It has lost track of hundreds of billions of dollars over time. It's not efficient. Nobody likes it. There are millions of people that don't even bother to file. They're working, but they don't bother to file. It's not very effective. That's not impossible. A lot of people think this is an impossible idea. I don't think it is. It's not impossible that the Internal Revenue Service could wind up being removed from service. I know that's unlikely. I'm not going to argue it's probable exactly, but it's not impossible that they could be removed. And if they were, what would replace the Internal Revenue Service? How would the federal government continue to collect taxes? Melody?
Are you asking me?
No, I'm asking Wendy. Wendy's not here. Okay, I'm asking you.
Well, what's your answer to your question?
Do that to me again, Melody. The answer is a national sales tax.
Yes.
If the government imposed a national sales tax, insofar as they were able to enforce that tax and prevent the development of a black market, any time anyone spent any money, and that would be rich, poor, middle class, whoever, you'd be taxed right then at the spot. And then the government wouldn't have to worry about how you got your money or where you got your money. Just a question, where do you spend your money? If you're spending your money at a tax-approved store, business, whatever, you'd be kicking in, you'd have to pay your tax at that point. And that strikes me. You know, again, we'll watch and see. I'm not guaranteeing that's going to happen. I'm not predicting it's even probable, but I'm saying it's possible. We may be headed toward a national sales tax. We've got a caller.
Well, if they overhaul the IRS like they did the healthcare system, we're really in trouble.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe the healthcare system's in trouble, too, and the IRS would be in trouble. It might be a blessing. If they would treat the taxes more like Obamacare, we might never have to pay another dime in taxes. Let's take a call from Dave in Michigan. Hello, Dave. Are you there?
Hi, Al. Melanie, how are you?
Hi, good. Dave. Hey, good to hear from you.
Yeah, we're still breathing. on the light side, do you want to dress your kids up in cheap suits tonight and give them a clipboard? When they go to the door, they can say they're here from the government and they're there to help. That will scare anybody.
yeah, I agree.
You know, once upon a time, about 10 years ago, I suggested to a guy in shortwave, and the Catholic Church and the Hispanic community ran with it, but I said there was the movie Today the Earth Stood Still, and I think, you know, you can complain all you want, but if everybody on a Monday didn't go to shopping centers, didn't buy gas, didn't do any purchasing at all these shopping centers empty, grocery stores empty, it would be sending a signal that you're not happy with the health care and the way the government's running things. And when it affects the cash register, that's the bottom line. And I think if that continued on as a Monday special, you know, it'd be like the old Sears Thrifty Mondays, they might send a message. Money talks.
Well, I understand what you're trying to say, but I'm not optimistic that that's likely to work. It's going to take, I mean, it's one of these ideas that could catch hold and go viral in a sense, and everybody jumps on it. But trying to organize everyone in the country to not buy anything on Monday, does that mean I have to eat my own cooking and I can't order a pizza or something like that? I mean, would it hurt if I just ordered one little pizza for dinner?
I have to get carry out the day before.
Maybe so. It would be hard to implement, not impossible, but you know, it's one of those things we can kind of hope for.
Al, was on Christmas, you know, the ACLU and all these stores, they don't want Salvation Army out there ringing a bell. What I did with all my nieces and nephews for 15 years, I would give them a check dated January 6th, Little Christmas, the Feast of the Three Kings. And they could cash those checks to the 6th. And when they went out and they bought what they wanted, they got it at half price.
So they were able to buy twice as much.
And for all these people that got issues with Christmas, you get a Christmas where sales are really down, there again, you're sending a message.
Well, yeah, I agree. And it's true. It's true. And they study the messages. They do study the messages in the sense of what's buying, what's not, who is buying, what is selling. They are closely monitored by computers, and they watch the products in the same sense that they, in theory, watch the way we cast votes when on election day. Each, you know, our decision to spend our dollar at point A rather than point B, this is a decision that's monitored and people pay attention. And businesses adjust their strategy accordingly and governments adjust their taxes. It's evidence that we are in control to the whatever extent we care to be. We're not being overpowered by the government. They watch us. And they try to take advantage of whatever we're doing, but they follow what we do. And if we can act in concert, we can regain this country. Our circumstances are not hopeless. We are still the 800-pound gorilla. And the only problem is we are so fixated on Twinkies and ho-hos and diet soda and the TV that it's hard to get us up off the couch at the same time.
Sure. Hey, one last thing. 3 months of quantitative easing, if they took that money, instead of putting in derivatives overseas at $85 billion a month, wouldn't that be nice if they bailed out all the cities of the United States, cleaned the slate, started all over?
I agree. I mean, it's one of the problems they've got with the money that they've used for stimulus programs for the last 4 or 5 years, is that the banks, they gave it to the banks, usually. And the banks, for the most part, didn't lend it to the American people. And this is not merely the fault of the banks. It's also the American people wanted to get out of debt. They didn't want to go into any more debt. And so they refused to take loans. It's partly the fault of the public. They didn't take the loans. It's partly the fault of the bank. They said, I don't know if I want to lend to all these deadbeats. We're just going to hang on to now that we've got the money. Let's keep it for ourselves. And what they have done, apparently, is lend a lot of it to foreign countries at high interest rates instead of lend it here to Americans at low interest rates. It's just another illustration of how we get into this trouble, and there are people in Washington who think they can handle the trouble, and they are using the helicopter Ben Bernanke strategy of just dumping dollars out of helicopters. And the truth of the matter is, it's not enough just to spread $85 billion a month into some place in this country. You have to focus and put it where it will be most productive. And no one's doing that. They've just said, oh, let's give it to the banks. They'll know what to do with it. And the banks have done what's best for banks. They haven't done what's best for the American people.
Well, that's my three thoughts for today, and like I say, there is a way to straighten things out if they wanted to. I don't think they do.
No.
Congress shouldn't pass any laws that they don't have to live by.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. Dave, that's absolutely true. And in fact, there are laws in the Constitution that prohibit just that. There are laws that prohibit both the states and the federal government from granting a title of nobility. And most people don't know what a title of nobility is, but it's an advantage or privilege enjoyed by one group, but not by another. What that means is, by saying no titles of nobility, it essentially means no special interest legislation. It means we can't pass a law that we're going to give money to this group over here, but not to the group on the other side. Got to treat everyone equally, or if you impose an inequality, it's a title of nobility. We have forgotten that concept. We allow it to slide. But truth of the matter is, most of the special legislation, most of the special interest legislation, is unconstitutional.
I wonder how many people in Congress have actually read the Constitution, just like they didn't read the health care bill.
No, I understand. The only thing they read is their bank statements. How much money do they have in their reelection and their reelection campaign bank account? That's what they're
getting reelected.
Yeah. All right, Dave. Well, thank you for your call. Talk another time.
You too,
Dave. Take care, Melody. Bye.
Bye-bye, Dave.
What else we got, Melody?
You know, I just saw an article today about the, you know, for all of those who sign up for insurance on the state exchanges, they might not have access to the nation's top hospitals. So possibly the hospitals that you had access to under your individual policy and people were canceled, some of the top hospitals will accept insurance from just one or two companies operating under Obamacare. So there's been so much focus on the premium costs and subsidies, and no one is really telling you what you get for your money. All you hear about is everything you're going to get covered. I mean, here I had my own insurance policy. I paid for, you know, if I had to get antibiotics or anything like that, I paid out of my own pocket. I had a $10,000 deductible. So every time I went to the doctor, I paid for it out of my own pocket. The insurance companies made money off of me, but I chose to have a policy to where I could go to any doctor I wanted. I could go to any hospital I wanted. I didn't have restrictions. That was what was important to me. Now I'm being told by my government that I can't have that choice. I need to choose what they want me to have. And I get to have maternity leave. I get to have maternity care and things that I don't even want or even care for.
Are you trying to tell us something, Melody? Are we going to have some sort of a blessed event here in the next 9 months?
And now we're being told that half of those, you know, when you sign up under the states, that you're not even going to have access to some of the top hospitals in this country. So, again, more taken away from the folks, and we're being told what we can and can't do. And that's just...
It's aggravating. I listened to I caught just a line, half a sentence, maybe a full sentence, of a radio program with former Governor Mike Huckabee. And he's got his own talk show and so on. And I caught it just earlier today. And someone was there, and they at least implied, it didn't make it clear, so this might not be true, and I want to find out, I don't know yet, but they at least implied that the people working for the federal government might not have to sign up for Obamacare. It may be that the Obamacare is merely for the great unwashed. And maybe everyone in government is going to have a health care system that is different from Obamacare. And if that is, I guarantee you that whatever health care system exists for the federal employees, it will be vastly superior to Obamacare. Now, I don't know that that's true yet, but just a glimpse. What, do you know?
I heard that they are looking to get all the government employees under the same policies that the politicians have.
Well, I understand that.
Yes.
I can see. And nobody wants Obamacare. It's only dummies. We're going to force Obamacare on all the dummies out there in TV land.
Well, that we're being forced in it. I'm being forced to do something about it.
No, I understand. I understand.
Hey, I don't care if somebody out there, you know, doesn't have any and they want to go get it and they want to sign up. That's their problem. But don't tell me what I have to do.
I agree.
I mean, here is fourth ranked. Cleveland Clinic, they accept dozens of insurance plans if you buy one on your own. But if you go through Obamacare, you just have one choice.
Let me tell you something. You have no choice on one thing for sure, and that is we're about out of time. And so we are going to tell you what to do, Melody, and that is to rest up until tomorrow when you and I will return to financial survival. I want to thank all you folks for listening. We'll be back mañana in the meantime. The good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
money, money, money.